This episode is powered by Audio Technica. All quality, all passion, always listening.
If you're looking for a new, old, or even some forgotten passion, well, you've come to the right place. Better drink up some passion potion and listen up, because the show's about to begin.
Passion Food Podcast. You are listening to Passion Food Podcast. Passion Food Podcast. You are listening to Passion Food Podcast.
You're now listening to the Passion Food Podcast. Only on Spotify.
Welcome to another passion episode of the Passion Fruit Podcast.
SG!
I'm Sif.
I'm Hakim.
I'm Afik.
I'm Helmi.
How are y'all doing today?
I went to sleep.
You went to sleep.
I want to dance with Uncle Raymond.
we're not talking about Uncle Raymond today. Yeah. But y'all have seen online nowadays, right? There are a lot of individuals who are always doing their own crafts.
Yeah.
And for me, I've always seen people do like shoes, or particularly Air Force One shoes with anime designs.
Last time it used to be the Roshi, Nike Roshi Run.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, people always paint on the Roshi Run. Yeah.
And then the Nike logo becomes something else.
Yes.
Now there's more of that, especially in Singapore. I've seen a lot of people doing that also.
I think because of COVID.
Yeah, Converse, Vans, all people. Nothing better to do. Yeah, as long as it's like a plain shoe, they'll just like paint over it.
I always think like Air Force One is like the perfect shoe.
Cause it's an empty canvas.
A canvas for you to paint, for you to, you know, put your craft and your imagination on it.
Yeah.
Like the Luffy Air Force One.
Oh yeah, the hand itself is a Nike logo, which is damn cool.
Oh, wow.
So with that, we are actually talking about handiworks and crafts. So what do you guys think handiwork is?
It's something to do with your hands.
Yeah. That's right.
You do work with your hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are correct. If you were to look at the definition in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it's actually work done by hand.
Oh.
There are also two others, which is characteristic quality of a particular doer or maker, and also the result of work done by hand. So, done by hand. Done by hand. So, handiwork. So, hand and work done by hand. Oh. And we also call it crafts, because that's the product of the crafter himself.
Should we have ambient music?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
But we've been having quite a few guests previously.
Shout out Reservoir Dayak.
Yeah, that has this specialty of doing craftsmanship.
Handmade crafts.
Yeah, handmade crafts. And I really think that these people who always do these things are very... One thing is they are very, very determined.
They're very passionate.
And patient.
Yeah.
I would not do 3 hours of buffering a side of a leather cut.
For 3 hours.
Three hours. I would just give up. Yeah. You give me a enemy figurine, like a Gundam to make, maybe I can.
Yeah.
But doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. Or making the Gundam figure look super crazy. Like an actual...
Adding details.
Yeah, everything. I think that one is like the next level. Yeah, it's the kind of level that I don't think all of us got patience for.
Yeah.
Too busy with life.
True.
Then I know you guys got do Gundam. Have y'all ever done like any like custom masterpiece? Custom work masterpiece.
Haven't yet. But there's a kit that I want to try and do that. Yeah, I bought
what particular Gundam?
So it's not like a first party. It's not like a Bandai made one. So there's this company called Zero Gravity from China. So a bit of backstory. There's this one particular Gundam in the Gundam Seed series called the Forbidden Gundam. So they don't have an actual like really nice kit of it in made by Bandai lah. So this company actually like adapted the design.
Oh,
then like made that one. Yeah, it's something like modified design. Yeah, and then it's like a very... It's honestly very high quality. So the point where a lot of people who are usually against Bandai clones or like copies and whatever, right? They say like this is like one of the best. It's even better than some Bandai made Gundams, yeah. So I actually have two of that kit.
Is it expensive?
Quite expensive. But no, actually it was only like 120. It's a typical like master grade size like price around that. Yeah, 100-ish. Yeah, but then because of the scarcity of it, right? Then the prices shot to like 200 after I bought it. Yeah, so I managed to get two kits below the like the markup price. Yeah. Mm. So quite lucky. Yeah, but I haven't built that kit because I'm waiting for like a time to really like be able to modify the kit and everything. It looks damn good. Yeah.
I know like Gundam itself is like a work of art. Because I've seen like Afik's Gundam, the one that you can light up also.
Oh, but that is considered, but it's already given one, so it's not that I literally custom made it with my
but
own
even the
soldering or what. Of course, I don't even know engineering.
I would say the behind the scenes, like manufacturing and engineering of the Gundam kits itself is like a handiwork. Like it takes a lot of skill to be able to 3D model parts in that way where you can piece them together into a final thing. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Yeah. I think for me, I think the most I've done is weathering only.
Weathering?
Yeah.
So what do you do for the weathering?
What's weathering?
Weathering is like you, how to say, like
make the thing look old.
Look old or
in,
look
in the most like basic way.
Either look old or look rugged lah. Yeah. So you know like when you build your own figurine, the Gundam figurines, it looks without doing any changes, it looks very plain and very clean. Right? So you add these weathering effects, which whereby you use like some ink. And then one common way is to you use a tissue paper. I think, or not sandpaper. Oh. You use I think tissue, then you have a bit of the ink and then you just dab it on the plastic and then like that as much as you want to have that weathering effect. So it looks as if like it's being like it depends on what's the context of how you want it to be
to
like in the battle.
An analogy for people who don't know, who still cannot visualize. So you take this, like example, you go NS, your army boot, you kiwi black already. Then you go outfield, you come back, then got all the dust. Weathering.
So it's like worn out.
For Gundam is like battle damage.
Is one. Yeah, another one is to make it look like it's there lah.
It's been there for ages, like dusty.
Yeah, I've been one. Maybe I might want to try like do some chipping on. On the plastic.
Never
so
try the
like
there's this thing like it's like a pastel, then like you can break it into powder, then you can like spread on the that's like the dust for Gundam.
I think you should ask our very first guest, Ang JC, who is also a Gundam connoisseur. But
I think I can consider him as one of like doing handicrafts because he does miniature stuff. So consider one also.
There was one I think he did a miniature Nintendo
64. Yeah. Or is it
Or PlayStation? No, I don't know.
I think it was a Nintendo 64. I thought it was GameCube.
So. I don't know. Then I also saw like he do like a few things. He did quite a lot of things actually. Yeah. If you go,
he even did like I think like Poka
or the
drink,
packet drink.
Yeah. Packet drink. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The dedication, bro.
The fact that he even painted it.
Print. Did he print out
those?
Yeah,
printed then.
Can see, man, the details?
Can see, sir.
After
you just present it in your civilian family kit.
Hey, actually, that's cool, though.
Cool,
I think people do custom shit for the civilian family thing also. Yeah.
I know that shit is expensive, man. As a toy.
Collectors,
I don't understand how people or kids would buy civilian family.
I mean, the same goes for people who buy Gundam. Some people don't understand how people buy. But like, you know, everyone has their own thing.
Shit.
To us, to one person, it's just, what the fuck? Then to other person, like, oh.
For me, last time I buy, what did I buy? Hot Wheels. And the Tomica.
Tamiya.
No. Tomica. You know,
It's like Hot Wheels, but Japanese.
Oh yeah, but they create like more like normal,
more accurate,
accurate,
more accurate figures,
The ones that you see on the road right now, like. But if on the road got like something like Hot Wheels, then that one's not Hot Wheels.
That one Cold Wheels,
But speaking of
weathering, there's a similar effect for shoes. Nowadays it's a trend.
To make it look,
Mr. Sabotage, our local. Sneaker connoisseur, customizer connoisseur. He has another company called Foxtrot Uniform. He has this marker.
Oh, that's his company.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I thought he's like an American guy.
No, it's him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Ooh. Then he has this marker where you put on your midsole from white become yellow. Or other people will like dye your shoe in coffee or tea
together. To make it like have that
vintage
old look or have that off white look.
Then now all the main. Manufacturers are doing the same shit also. There's Nike. One upcoming Nike
Air Jordan 1.
Yeah. Like the OG Chicago.
I thought like Nike collab with Nescafe or what, then they put the name Nescafe coffee. Like that.
You know Vans, they also collab with an anime. They made Vans X Sailor Moon.
It's the current one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, recently also.
Yeah, it's very recent. It's now actually.
Yeah, now.
It's the current one.
When it comes out, it's recent lah.
Yeah.
It's cool, yeah. Like I know there was one time I think Dragon Ball and
Adidas.
Was it Adidas?
Yeah, Adidas. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's all pig skin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Yeah. But nice, yeah. The Shang Long one is knitted, but.
Yeah.
This one, yeah.
Shang Long one not use dragon
skin.
Skin
dragon
skin. Those snake skin, eh. Busy, yeah.
The monitor lizard skin. That was a, oh, no. Sorry. What? Komodo dragon.
But then, like.
Technically, like, same family, yeah. Almost.
Salamander skin.
Ooh. Salamander. And they did, so, like.
No, we are not reptilist. Reptilist.
Yeah.
But speaking of shoes also, yeah. There was this one, I think I've been following this Instagram account. Mm. It's called Reco, what was it? I write here. Oh, Revo Customs.
Revo Customs.
That's the one that I mentioned about, like, the anime custom made shoes.
Mm. You see Singaporean?
Unfortunately, no. It's a guy based in Italy.
Yeah. Indonesian. There's one Indonesian guy also, I think. In that shoes also.
Oh, I think I've seen that also. Mm. Yeah, but if you guys want to have that, your own custom made shoes, you can. It's a made to order. So ask the guy what kind of custom design you want on your.
Gonna take a while.
So Revo Custom, I search on Instagram is bicycle only.
R-A-V-O.
Ravo.
That was Revo.
Revo.
Yeah. Other, like, if you are speaking of, like, anime style, for me, I know there's one particular person who does anime figurines, but it's woodworking.
YouTube, right?
From Vietnam,
Vietnam. Yeah, so this certain guy, he does, like, wide array of sizes of different anime figurines. Like, one big ones, he used, like, chainsaws to cut, like, the shape. Yeah. Wow. It's freaking crazy.
I think to me, like, from one of his videos, I think... To me, the best one was the Attack on Titans one.
Mm. Or the Eren as
yeah, the Attack Titan versus the Armored Titan. Oh, yeah. Nice.
That damn is cool. Quite huge, bro.
Damn huge. Then somehow you need to shape it to...
Yeah.
Wow.
I really respect people who can do like woodworking in that manner. Like to be able to carve everything.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
How the hell do you visualize what to carve
out? Yeah, that's why. Yeah. I'm like... How is it that he's able to carve out into like a figurine from a block of wood?
Yeah.
Same for people who do stone carving also. It's like the old school, the Roman era. Shit, they do like human
Stonehenge.
The marble statues and everything. Crazy shit.
Like in the Greek, Greek places, right? Yeah. The Pantheon.
Damn
and all that,
crazy.
Right? I really wonder, like, do they have the alien skills of like 3D printing?
Or maybe
in their brain.
They have the SpongeBob touch. Then
you gotta feel it. Yeah, you gotta date it. You gotta lick it. Take it out to dinner. And
one time, then what? Perfect.
But it never happens with Squidward.
Yeah, exactly.
How? But really, if you guys want to check like the woodworking anime figurines, like there's one particular one because I know there's several. Mm. But one I really follow always is the wood art_Vietnam.
Wood art_Vietnam.
Yeah, that one, the video always start with like the guy like at like this like workshop area, then the wood is there outside, right? And then, crazy shit.
The fact that he can do it in a very busy environment, because in the background you can see like a lot
other
of people
doing
it.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you are carving using chainsaws, not chisels. Yeah, I mean, chisels will be later on.
Yeah.
But there are certain parts where he's just using chainsaws only. Mm.
Wow.
Crazy, man.
Crazy good shit.
I use pen knife also. Don't know how to handle this, Chainsaw how? I'll kill myself, man. But I know this one, if we're talking about anime still, and we are going to talk about something that is like the most famous anime in the world, which is Pokemon. Mm. If you all seen Pokemon cards, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Like from our previous guest.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like you've seen all those very rare cards, but what if those cards are in 3D?
So
they do have.
Jezza. Jezza does it.
So Jezza,
he's inspired by another guy.
He's inspired by another guy. Because he already existed.
Mm. Yeah. It's existing already. But Jezza, if you talk about him, he one-upped the game. He made a diorama of the cards. Damn, like the jumbo cards also.
He started with the jumbo one. Then the other one I watched halfway, but I didn't know what he did.
The other one was he's trying to make a whole deck of 3D printer cards.
Deck.
He wanted to make a whole deck. So like in his
video.
That was
with his son. Yeah, he shared with his son.
Yeah. So in his recent video, I think he only made like 6 or 10 cards. So before he started making like the cards as a whole to make the 3D, he have a mold first. So the mold to like keep the cards in place. So because how this 3D Pokemon cards work is I think you take like probably like 4 of the same cards and after that you cut some of the parts where in the picture
background.
Yeah, in the background, then you cut the
outer Pokemon. Shape of the Pokemon.
Yeah, the shape of Pokemon, then after that the outer layer of the card. So it's like in different layers. Then when you and in between those layers they put foam. So it looks like as if it's popping out. So there's space in the,
so it's not so flimsy.
And the fact that of course like the alignments might be a bit misaligned. So he made a mold first, so at least everything is aligned in place. That's how he's able to make it make more lah, and in a consistent manner lah. So I don't know if he has created the whole deck. If you check out Jezza's his YouTube channel, his process of doing it, he looks damn cool. I also just recently watched it, and that's that shit, man. I feel.
But I think the diorama one more impressive.
The one is definitely impressive, but that's to me, it's a bit too much. Because I might want to try the 3D foam, because I have so
a
many.
Lot of repeated same cards.
I got a lot of duplicates, I think I might as well. It's damn cool. I want to try.
But I wonder how long does it take to actually, create the mold and then. I put it all
okay. The
place.
The mold part is they did a lot of position.
I think
cutting,
but I think it's very fast when they cut because they got laser cutter. Once you get the measurements for the standard Pokemon card, they just cut according
Then just do it. Then I think it fastens. speeds up his process
There was one I think person who also does this Pokemon 3D card. Like he said, how to use a pen knife for precision cutting. You take your pen knife and then you create like this. Plasticine. You make a mold of your hand, then make it harden. Then you slip your penknife through the plasticine. So when it hardens, like the grip itself will follow whatever grip that is most comfortable for you. So when you cut the penknife using the penknife, it feels much more comfortable, like more ergonomic.
It's like last time got one pencil, it got like specific rubber.
Something like that.
For kids to learn how to write.
Correct.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah, this one can help for people. My voice just break. This one can help for people
voice break.
For precision cutting in general. So
cool.
Like you want like cut for your artwork or anything? Because in general, artwork also is like handicraft or
in a way.
Handcrafted goods also. Because I know there are in like first of all when people mention about handiworks and crafts, like I always think of only batik. Or embroideries, or like the wood cutting also.
Yeah.
But actually, there's more than that,
like a lot.
We've never, I think, people never appreciate like how people do like, furnitures.
Right.
The rattan chairs. Yeah.
Wow.
And all the very traditional custom.
Even like your bazaar, making the carpets, all that. Making any clothes, man.
Yeah, bro.
It's all skills. Yeah, but some of the carpet is just like machine made.
Yeah, it needs to have like an original design for people to mass produce also. So props to those people who started this kind of business thing.
Yeah,
you guys are the real heroes, man.
Yeah, come on to our podcast and share your stories.
I mean, to me, I don't think it seems easy, to even to like sell your products also.
And you have to have the space to do stuff.
A workshop also. And I mean, in like financial terms, it might cost a lot.
Yeah.
Like to prepare all this stuff. Then also, you also can't be so sure that your products also can be sellable.
Can do well.
That's why can do well. So, I don't know. I feel like this may be a bit of a struggle for them, but I don't know. I'm not in their shoes.
I think you find the right audience, nothing really.
Yeah, that's
the
thing. Yeah, if you're able to find the right audience, like our previous episode with Reservoir Dayak, he had connections with like some people, right?
And his friends that like slowly spread the word.
So he slowly spread. Then after that, there's like, did he say that there's a few people
at his blog. Like people started
like
his neighbors,
so to speak.
So after like it's like this kind of people, like he made those people where
became a community.
Became a community. Then after that, they are the same people who buy stuff.
He appeared on Surya.
Oh, is it?
On his YouTube channel, he got...
Oh, really? Got,
recently? Oh. No, it was 10 years ago.
Oh, wait, 10? Yeah.
At Bedok, at the Void Deck.
Oh, yeah. That was when he just started.
The Dayak Council area.
Yeah. Got old people behind, then he do the ladder at the Void Deck.
Yeah. That's considered a residence corner, right? It looks like. Because they always have the table, then got the checkerboard pattern.
Yeah.
Always got old people gamble there. Not saying anyone. But actually, okay, for me, I always keep a close eye on like the anime community in general. Mm. So I always like to see how many people do all their crafts on cosplays.
Mm, yeah.
Because there are very, very impressive cosplays out there. So, yeah. Like even the ones that can function.
Yeah, like those are crazy. Those are like next level. Especially now with like the advancements in 3D printing. You have less focus on like, oh, must cut the foam, measure everything, recut again, repaste everything. Now you just like, oh, you measure this roughly, then you do 3D print and then you repress, like print.
And just
You can assemble. Then like assemble. Not everything has to be like 1000% handmade. Because that one, the foam thing, I saw the... There was this guy who made like a
low budget cosplay.
That one different.
The Hadouken is the toilet bowl.
Yeah, but that one really smart lah. He's like damn smart lah when he does that. But content, like the normal cosplay, there's this one guy who did like a World of Warcraft, like a dragon type of suit. And then, like everything was moving and everything. And then it turns out it's all foam.
Serious?
Because he had to make it light lah. Like it 3D printed everything would be quite heavy. Yeah, so like crazy shit, but this was damn long ago. I think like 5-6 years ago. Yeah, like dedication.
Nowadays we got like the Mandalorian cosplay. All the helmet, the gun, everything all.
Yeah.
Lord, insane.
I always love it when, you know, the Iron Man costume, like how the helmet can like, open up.
There's a lot of variations.
It's crazy shit, bro.
And nowadays also people are starting to do like the metal, like full on metal versions.
Yeah.
Like metal works. So that one is also another like kind of handcraft. It's like crazy shit. It's like next level lah. I think that one's like one of the hardest cause metals.
I really wonder like if those people they actually, you know, keep on creating more stuff for other people.
I think they do. Most of them, initially they will start on their own. Then once they have like a golden jackpot with their design,
right?
People start to ask them for commissions. Mm. Then one by one like they will branch out from there.
Wow, you imagine how long it takes for each costumes, right?
Like, but I think usually, I think now like the common thing is they will 3D print something, then they make it into like a mold, then they use resin to cast because it's a lot faster to mass manufacture. 3D printing is still quite slow. But very it's slow. Cool. Nowadays also people are like mixing blacksmithing with like cosplay and stuff.
Oh.
Like the Man at Arms. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god,
that one crazy. Yeah, like I don't know if you all watch on YouTube. It's quite good.
That's a literal weapon.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a weapon that
one cannot
kill,
bring to like those anime like cosplay fans or design.
The weapon can kill.
Yeah. It will kill.
But really, if you guys want to watch, you go watch Man at Arms Reforged. They really do like the God of War, Kratos.
The
sword. Weapon.
The blades.
Yeah. The one with the chains.
Yeah.
Cool. Crazy
but
shit.
To me, the long saber.
My favorite one was this the just is very simple. Is the what's his name? The Rurouni Kenshin's blade.
Oh, the reverse blade. Yeah.
Oh.
It's so simple, but I don't know, the process is just
the guy who made the thing, the I think Ilya, one of their, his main like blacksmith, so to speak.
Yeah, because he has expertise in like creating katana swords, right? So there's a process and like the right materials to do, and also the correct way of creating katana.
This guy really follows the old school Japanese way. To make the blade, the grains, like the grain and everything. Yeah. He will use like the mud and everything like legitly.
And then the katana itself, right? The blade, right? It's not like simple. You just take like one big sheet of metal and just cut. Yeah. No,
he will temper like, the thing.
It's all folding, and it's like I think he took about like I think how many layers? Like 200, 300 layers. So it's
he
like
kept folding.
Okay, first like you have one flat one. Then you cut, you fold. Okay, actually he have like a few. So like I think like 8 sheets of metal.
Yeah, then you flatten, then you start to fold.
Fold, then it becomes one very very brittle, and it's damn nice. And somehow it's a reverse blade, so which is very interesting that.
Of course, the shape and everything have to be precise. Yeah, then how you also bend the blade and everything.
Then the bending also.
If you guys don't think this is impressive, watch the Sephiroth one.
Oh yeah, that one crazy.
If you all know who Sephiroth is, if you don't know,
the super long blade.
It's one of the longest blade
mid-cleaver,
that I.
Mid cleaver is it?
meat.
The meat cleaver.
You know?
No.
La, I don't know. It's the long one.
Yeah, the long katana.
It's a long ass katana.
Two hand sword. Oh no.
I think that one need four hands.
But they also make a big one, which is the Buster Sword. For Bleach one. That was fucking big.
Buster Sword is Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy, sorry. Yeah. It also big.
But Ichigo Sword also quite big as well, actually. But did they make it?
But they don't make Ichigo.
Not Bleach one.
They made another Bleach character sword, I think.
The
ice guy, I think. I forgot what's his name.
Yeah, I've
but they made a lot. But the thing is that they really go all out like for those weapons which you think is like meant for cosplay, but they really made it. They really make it real and workable.
Like workable, you can actually attack people and kill people.
Cut fruits. Because I know one which look very abstract is the World of Warcraft. I think what was it called? The Frost King.
Yeah, the Frost King's Blade.
Wow, they damn nice.
A lot. Damn, but nice. They're quite sad because like I think they had like a falling out or something. Then they split with the Ilya and one of the younger brothers. So the head, the blacksmith for the man at arms that blacksmithing company, he got a younger brother. So they split up, I think. Yeah, but now the other two guys are making videos for their own also. But they are making more like less character related weapons, but they also do like historic weapons and stuff also. But it's quite cool to see. You all should go and watch. Yeah.
It's Lich King, not Frost King.
Lich King.
Later, I'm scared the Warcraft fans cancel us. But if you really think like if this cosplaying or like whatever, crafting like, this make money, it really does. Like especially, I mean, you burn
money to make money. This is literally like
you don't have to say. Go to Japan really is one huge industry over there.
Yeah,
like in America itself also. Like you can see, like in Singapore, we do have really talented cosplay, and props, those people who do their own.
Yeah, props to them. Like do their sewing, all that.
Yeah, and it makes you think like how like every time people watch anime like for the story for all that, but you don't know how much detail they go into the character design of the clothes and how people will actually like research how the clothes are actually knitted.
How they're folded and everything. Yeah,
and the creases and all. Wow, it's crazy, man.
Specific glue.
Yeah, and the fact that the colors in the anime and in real life is totally different. You have to find the actual colors and the dye.
They have to match and everything.
Yeah, I don't understand how people can go through all this. For me, I just watch anime.
Speaking of like knitting, weaving, embroidery, whatever, so there's also that whole category of like needleworks, basically. That one also another level.
Like I only need the holes in between
your pen's crotch.
Okay.
Yeah, but that one is something I think we are not super familiar with, but we do see online like people who do like custom embroidered like designs. And then like crochet, like making like the small bags or like the crochet sweaters and stuff. Quite interesting to see also, actually.
You know, it reminds me of like the crochet and the knitting, right? What about those people that do tattoo? Is tattoo considered?
Yeah, tattoo can be a handicraft.
You use your hand to use the tattoo to machine to do tattoo.
To the tattoo or tattoo.
Yeah, so like a lot of, I always say like needlework, it's quite specific in the way they do. So yeah, but tattoo is like slightly different because don't involve threads.
Oh, if you use threads on the skin.
No, like,
Involve the ink.
That one saw levels, bro.
Yeah. but okay, like the like back to the needlework thing also, like the recent trend of like the rug
tufting.
I think that one like has been like in trend during the COVID period.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think currently in Singapore there's someone doing it, isn't it?
There's like two, I know there's like two or three workshops people go to to make the rugs.
Yeah. I see quite cool is that they have their own like some
gun.
Gun to do it.
We should make one for our podcast.
Cool. What gun? No, as in like how to explain.
It's a tufting gun.
It's called tufting gun, but it's like you fill it with wool, the thread, it shoots on the canvas.
It's like a nail gun, but then it shoots.
It's like you know the sewing machine, but it's a gun.
It's a hand.
It's like literally you're sewing the canvas. I can't say like in more
like staple gun.
Something like that.
But
like glue gun,
Because I know this. I know probably people watching who does this, watching and listening to this. Like, what the fuck is this guy talking?
But you just go find tufting.
That's the way I can say.
Tuft, right?
Yeah.
tufting.
What, yeah, what was the thing that made it a trend? Was it like the Yu-Gi-Oh card one or the Charizard one?
Remember during the pandemic, there's this Indonesian company called Loco Carpet or Low Carpet something. Uh-huh. And then a lot of people custom order their rug, even like David Beckham and the son.
Oh, serious? Wow.
From Indonesia. Mm.
But what was the first design that people suddenly made it viral, like that whole tufting thing? There was one particular one I remember.
Not anime.
It was either Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon card.
I think it was the Charizard one.
I know the Charizard, but the Yu-Gi-Oh one was cool also.
The blue eyes dragon.
No, it's just... I thought it's the face down card one.
Face down.
The back cover of the card.
The back card. Yeah, it's like in a beast. Yeah.
I'll put it in the toilet.
Why?
It looks like a toilet.
Like a toilet bowl. You don't shit there. Yeah. It's okay, right?
Cannot see the color.
Oh my god. But you can feel it.
Yeah. You walk in the whoop.
Yeah, actually, speaking of carpet, I know like a lot of people also do their own custom made, right? Like they, like a lot of podcasts also. Mm. That's
okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Can we make your own?
Yeah. You join in the
join in the trend.
Join the class.
Yeah. So. I was also very circular. So how big your one?
Big enough to fit all 5 of us on the chair. Besar apa sahaja one.
I think you can even put as like
we sit at our different faces.
Yeah.
Then we call the bomo make it a flying carpet.
Wow. That becomes a flying saucer already.
Yeah.
You mean what? Imagine like you can put on the dining table, you know, the circle dining table. Then you put on there. Yeah.
But what you want put on the table? Later how to eat? Later dirty.
But then again, yeah, that's carpet.
Unless you with the table cloth.
Ah, table cloth.
Right.
Then
we put our.
I was thinking like, why you put the carpet on the table?
Yeah, exactly. Should it be below?
No. That's not our way. We do things different here. We are the masters of our own universe.
Facts.
But in general, handiworks have been like in part of our livelihood for humanity since like time immemorial. Mm. Like people who do like the wheels, you know, bicycles.
Making fire also last time. used to be handiwork in a way.
Anything that involves you hand, creating something.
Making
with your
tools for hunting and everything. Yeah.
Nowadays it's more to like aesthetics and like something that we use in our everyday life.
Functional.
Like actually IKEA products also is considered...
It's the gateway to woodworking and metalworking to making furniture.
Correct.
Some people actually learn like gain interest or passion to make furniture by making IKEA furniture.
Yeah,
they start to customize by like buying a few IKEA furniture, put together custom made like designs.
Become a new design.
Yeah. And then it expands into like, I want to buy wood and make my own design.
Yeah.
If you all can put up a IKEA furniture using instructions, you definitely can make your own custom made product.
Yeah,
you try to take maybe like a cupboard, then you
put a chair,
buy another with chair, then not become a bit.
Wow, what?
a bit hard maybe like a baby cot
A bit for your cat maybe.
Okay. But I know we also have another one that we wanted to mention just now was the like this mural making for like mosques. In Singapore, like
calligraphy,
also. Like calligraphy itself, like you putting jewelries onto the murals.
Because
there's this one particular individual, I think, I don't know, we've got mentioned before, but
Tanya and Yasmin.
Tanya Yasmin. She creates her own murals of like different paintings with Arabic words or like the
different Holy Quran and words.
And we've actually seen her like her popularity just rise because. Yeah. All her murals have been seen in different malls in Singapore. So, it's quite amazing. I mean, even
personally bought it for his dad.
Sister. Your mother?
No, my... bought my dad.
Oh.
For his birthday.
It looks damn nice, Using all the... What did you call it?
The Swarovski.
Swarovski jewels. It's quite cool. Y'all can check her out on Instagram.
Mm. Also got a shout out to this Chinese Muslim at... where's that? Geylang Mall. Tanjung Katong Complex at level 2. He got do this calligraphy.
I remember, I passed by.
That one, the guy look like a bit like Ustaz Abid Liu.
And you can, if you buy within 1 year, the next year you can exchange your artwork to another one. Then you just top up a bit more.
Oh, top up. Seriously?
Then he will like resell the other one. Oh.
He will clean the artwork, then he resell.
Oh, but his works are nice.
It's not from him. He get it from China.
That's true, but still you can see the art. It's yeah, them. Man. It is literally like Chinese calligraphy influence onto Islamic scripture.
During
or
the time when there was a lot of like the expo, like the what the food fest, whatever.
Or conventions.
The, usually you go the Singapore Expo, you go in, you confirm will see that fella one over there.
Oh, yeah,
like one
yeah.
of the Malay expo thing. Yeah, always have him one.
At Singapore Expo.
He's called Kaira Chinese Islamic Calligraphy. My mother asked me to like this Facebook page so next year she can change to a new one.
Yeah. Oh, plan ready.
Plan ready.
Every Hari Raya
change. Yeah, because the frame big so I have to drive there. Yeah.
Dia kutuk.
Yeah, this is the work.
Yeah, but nice. Like,
y'all can check it out at the Facebook.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Kaira Chinese
C-I-R-A.
Yeah, K-H-A-I-R-A. Islamic calligraphy. Mm. Yeah. Shout out to
their
uncle.
Oh,
brother.
Brother. Yeah.
He can speak Malay, by the way.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
Abang.
If we talk about Singapore's own like handiwork and craft, because Malays in general, we are very good in craftsmanship. Like if you're like
stitching,
to like histories.
Making clothes.
Yeah, and you know how our Singapore airline the
batik.
Baju batik. Yeah, that is based on
that one not African cultural outfit. Eh.
What is
that? There was a company or some
some person she bought like a replica SIA uniform.
Yeah.
And she's selling it as like some African cultural wear.
Wow, the audacity.
Yeah, and then the picture, one of the picture was like the girl wearing the thing, then she was lying like on the chair like in reverse,
like a table, a bridge.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's fucking weird, bro. You go see. Then what
fuck kind of pose?
It's really exactly like the Singapore Airlines.
It's a replica. Yeah.
So like the batik, the design itself is really foretells like the history of.
She buy from Taobao one.
Maybe. I don't know, because
actually I think Singapore got sell like replica.
Because you know there's a lot of soldiers who already retired. So.
So sell on Carousel.
Yeah. Like I don't use this anymore. Yeah. So I just sell.
Oh, who knows, people might really cosplay it.
Yeah, I think have it.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
But yeah lah, I mean like that. Like you talk about batik, yeah, it's one of the things where we like our Malay culture, we really hold dear to it lah. Yeah.
Have you done batik before?
I've done before.
Yeah. It's
got different ways to do it lah.
Yeah, I think the common one was the one where
the wax,
the waxing thing. Mm. So it's not waxing, not you take out your hair. It's like you
the egg batik.
Yo. As in they have a special tool where where you use the wax to paint over.
It's like a fountain pen with like the cup.
Yeah, funnel. A small funnel.
And then like the pen will leak out the wax.
No, actually it's something like airbrush.
Yeah,
but it's just
like
that you don't spray. You have to gently like
draw
it out while the wax is still.
Gel pen. Like you know you squeeze and then it'll.
But it doesn't squeeze. It's just that the wax is in that small funnel, and then it's like
it will drip.
Slowly drip. So you have to control your the angle lah. So you know what to do. It's not easy, sir. Because I know, like the common ones are like. I remember my canvas was there's a lot of blobs because I accidentally took too much and then shit.
I think one of my friends spilled the whole thing.
Wow.
That the person was like, never mind. Then he just give you a pre-made one.
Abstract.
Then after that they paint themselves. Yeah. So after you done the wax, like the template, and you'll fill in the thing with the paint. Yeah. Then after that they will scrape off the wax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So that's how you get the shape for everything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So the wax is like it acts like a
stencil.
Then that's where you paint over the wax and then it hardens and it becomes a whole new world.
Isn't that the one where you know kids they put like the
sand one something like that also.
You can paste on the
wall. Something like that. The way you draw is similar to that using that
It's something like that. I didn't really know how people do batik.
This gave me an idea. For our anniversary episode, we should do all this
In one day.
Tufting, batik,
leather crafting.
Idea. Paint shoe.
I don't mind, bro.
Yeah.
each of us will be given a task to do it, and then we have to present at East Coast Park.
Okay, let's go.
Sounds like a flash.
East Coast Park Lagoon. The hardest part is ECP Lagoon. Need to find space.
Alright.
Right. Always cannot find seat.
That's
there.
The hardest handicraft. Finding a spot to park.
You got your friend. Can choke for us.
Right. I tell him.
Ask him to pitch a tent for us all also.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, true. We open our own table.
Yeah.
Hey, interesting, sir.
Open table, eh?
Open.
Hey, that the crafts we have, then we try to sell it.
Oh,
see whose item will be the most.
Sell the most.
Yeah.
Yalah. Idea. PFESG is selling yacht sale, but yeah. at the park. Oh. I think we need a license for that.
Right.
Then mind low key, keep it low key.
While people eating, you go around ECP.
Bro, you wanna buy something?
$10. No, thank you. This one not tissue. What was I gonna say? So actually I found out online. If y'all want to go to, I think it was like Joo Chiat, you can create your own kuih.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wood.
For real.
It's a Peranakan shop. So you create like Peranakan kuih.
The makciks will teach you.
Ondeh-ondeh, kuih lapis,
wow,
all that.
Wow.
It's at Joo Chiat. You can find it. It's called kimchi at Joo Chiat.
Kimchi. Halal or not?
It depends on what you want to use lah.
so like not halal lah.
It depends lah.
I want ondeh-ondeh with babi.
Can also.
A bit sus lah.
As long as you pay for the session.
The class
yeah. If not, it's like 2 hours per session.
How much is it?
$60+.
Okay lah.
It's a course lah.
Yeah, it's a course lah.
Like, not bad lah.
Definitely will have someone guide you lah. Of course, you don't just go there like alamak, then end up waste money.
Yeah.
Then you rather go to ECP then sell kuih.
I'd rather go back secondary school take home econ.
Bro, I suck at home econ, bro. You know the cookie
Yeah.
I don't even know how to make a cookie.
Is that a handicraft also making a cookie?
Baking.
Baking is.
It's kind of a hand.
Baking is baking.
Yeah, it's a whole other spectrum. But yeah, I can say it's a handicraft of sorts.
Baking.
Edible handicrafts. Same for cooking also.
People who do like chocolate, in different shapes and sizes. Even freaking cakes.
It's not even cakes. Yeah.
Is it cake?
Yeah, fuck it's that not. Trends. Yeah. That was also during the pandemic came back.
Yeah.
Oh, annoying. Yeah.
It's a season on Netflix, if you guys didn't know.
Yeah, there's a show.
Is it cake?
Oh, wow.
Quite it's a game show, right?
Yeah, it's a game show. I don't know if there's two seasons, if I'm not wrong.
It's really stupid. It's cool, but stupid. After a while, you watch, you're like, fuck.
I thought Japanese have one, which is the chocolate one.
Yeah. Is it real or not?
The door.
Everything they bite.
Oh, shit. Bite the sides of the desk. Then, bite the shoe.
Then they got segments where they go to like houses and then they hide all those things. Then after they will like go and they run every house. Then they see, they'll try to spot which one is the chocolate.
They try to bite the object.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, it's, if I'm wrong, like all the participants are all like the
celebrities.
Correct. That makes it more funny.
I used to watch it a lot. Every time I go find on YouTube like the clips, then they go like different houses or different places. Then they try to bite everything.
Actually, cool. if any of y'all are doing like any chocolate crafts or whatever shit,
DM us.
Contact us.
Or if you know anyone who does it.
I want to know like the kind of chocolate, like how.
Just how?
Just how lah. How you make how you make in general. I'm really very intrigued like how you're able to shape the chocolate into like specific shape that you want and then how they stick together, how they able to shape it up and then after that it doesn't melt.
How to shape, usually people have like mold.
Yeah.
But even the mold also have to swish the chocolate.
That's the thing,
damn crazy. Yeah.
It's the kind of chocolate they use.
I know people use recipe. Balloon then they coat the chocolate on top.
Paper mache.
Oh, that's machine.
I mean, using chocolate lah.
Technically, yeah.
Chocolate machine.
Not PVA glue
Yeah. Oh, but the glue itself, they also use the chocolate glue.
Edible, chocolate glue, which is cool. Which technically, I think it's just melted chocolate.
Yeah.
I think there's a different substance to
it. Or different consistency to it lah.
Constitution. But if you all do know, actually right, aside from embroidery, batik and the Peranakan kuih making, like if we were to go to traditional ways lah, there's also a shadow puppetry. People who crafts like different shapes for the
wayang
kulit.
Wayang kulit. Oh.
Yeah, I always think that is demonic.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, scary. No,
like, it calls like spirits or something. I don't know if it's a myth or what, but it's just tradition.
Yeah, it's a form of entertainment in the past. Yeah. Mm. And then there's also like the kite making also. The wow bulan. Oh. The literal old school like, yeah. Oh, also technically it's an art form also. Like how they make different.
How about the last time 50 Cent plane? You put the paper, then you stick together. Then
oh,
you
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that one. Okay lah,
can you cram?
Can lah. It seems like the wood, the like, what's that? Wood, you break open the wood, then you put together the dinosaur.
Yeah. 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 Hey, oh, actually, that reminds me. You know how people, they always like create like dioramas, like the Jezza, right? People actually do make dioramas for like your bookshelf.
Oh yeah.
Like people will slot in like, you know how alleyways of Japan is quite rich in culture. They actually create like an alleyway of Japan, make it a diorama, and make it look fit like a book in your bookcase. So it's like there's a world in your bookshelf itself.
nice.
And it lights up some more. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean like speaking about dioramas, like going back to like our original like the anime and everything, so people do that for like figurines and stuff also.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I think that one also is another that one is another like true blue form of art. They use the small like the I don't know what it's called, like it's like a dust but it's grass. And they like slowly like tap the bottle and then like it'll come out. And they like make the everything like the water also they use like resin to make. It's very detailed.
The water is like there's different layers of resin to make the water look.
And then they mix with different color to make it like look like it's organic and moving. Crazy shit.
Cool.
Too much work for me. I just watch people do then I watch at 2x speed.
The most impressive is when they mix in traditional with modern tech. Like they have like, I remember I saw this. I mean, we are getting way deep into this, right? But I think we end off here where modern science and traditional work put in together. One of it I've seen quite impressive is a normal table that lights up based on motion.
Emotional
table. So you like to place any cups or table on the if you want can put a table on the table lah. Cups or plates on the table or put your hand on the table. The outline, the areas around your hand or the objects that is on the table will light up. And it's grid based also, so it looks more like Neutron.
That's sick.
Future tech. Yeah, and the guy who goes through the process of doing it, wow, bro, I can tell you, we'll give up at the first step.
Because there's a lot of wiring.
I think the wiring part is always the hardest when you're doing like illuminated work. Someone is furniture.
Soldering.
Where you want to slot the wire? Where you want to pull out the wire? You have to plan.
I have no idea. You guys can check it out. You guys can check it out. I forgot.
Honestly, there's a lot of like this kind of people on YouTube. They're always making furniture, whatever. Like they design things for their own house and renovate and everything, then they showcase.
Good if you have the experience lah.
Yeah, and the experience, money, the space, the money to do everything. And the materials.
Remember some of you guys shared like this girl craft a whole house with a bamboo or something.
Oh!
I don't know, on WhatsApp, one of you guys shared.
Yeah, long it's ago. A Chinese girl.
Yeah.
Then
you got what? Make a swimming pool or what?
Also. Oh, that was the two guys also.
The two guys, that one also.
That is, that is top level handicraft. Like from mud, and it becomes something
like actually, you know, it's not two guys.
But the main two guys are the ones always on the screen.
They are the face of the
They are the architects.
Correct.
Then there's also people who do like the clay made Lamborghini also in China. They make Bugatti Veyron with just like clay and everything. Life
what
size.
The hell?
Crazy, a lot. Like I think
does it work?
So they use a kit car, like parts and everything inside. Then they make the shape and everything. Then it drives. I think China got a lot. They usually make cars.
But like definitely won't go as fast as the original.
It's just for show.
I was thinking of like Flintstones, you know. Like, you move the car.
Possible. I mean, if you make like for a kid's version.
You pedal inside. Can I see your license?
What they don't need license.
They don't need license. You just need space on the road lah.
True.
But if you guys want to look out for more handicrafts, or if you are a handicraft person yourself, just hit us up lah.
Yeah.
And you might not know, you might get much more like, you know,
exposure.
People who are into your craft.
Yeah.
Like Marvel, you know, Stark Industries, people are making their own Stark Industry stuff. So like flamethrowers and propulsion from your hand.
Sounds like Elon Musk.
Yilongma.
Yilongma, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, all these are in inventors lah.
Yeah, honestly, we really want to hear more like you guys' stories on our podcast. Because I think handicrafts is something that's really amazing that you spend time to, like your blood, sweat and tears are literally to yeah. like do all these things. So if you all know anyone or if you guys have your own crafts, correct. Please like tell us. We want to like hear your story. Like, we want to show people in Singapore like who these people are, like geniuses in their crafts.
Gotta share what is, you know, gotta share the quality.
And the passion.
And the passion.
Yeah. And the patience.
And the patience, yeah. Which we don't have.
Yeah, but then, you know, like, yeah, with all the final results of the crafts, this is also like the final moments of this episode for today. Yeah, so please give us a follow at Spotify, Instagram and TikTok and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Passion Fruit Podcast SG.
Like, share and comment on our Instagram post for this episode on what craft do you want to do if you're interested to do and if you have free time. What do we want to do? I don't know.
What do you want
what
us
we mentioned
to do?
Just now yes. for our anniversary.
What, Afik?
Huh? No, what you want us to do?
What you want us to do?
Yeah, maybe we should do an episode and we go to the workshop.
Correct. Yeah. And pay us lah. No lah, kidding. So tag us when you do that, whatever that you want to do, and share so that we can repost it on our IG star, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we have new episodes released every Friday, so keep a look up. Hey, sorry, that was
again.
We have a new episode. We have new episodes released every Friday. So keep a lookout for them. Thank God it's Friday. So I can ride the bike and do tufting and make way and then go the Chinese calligraphy.
Yeah,
and listen to this podcast.
Yeah, best handiwork craft episode or passion podcast has been.
Shout out to Audio Technica for the mic and headphones.
That's right.
With that being said, we are the Passion Fruit Podcast SG. Signing out.
Bye bye.